Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Of the Pack Podcast.
Experience the thrill of a Packers game at Lambeau Field? If so, be sure to get your game ticket from the longtime trusted source in Wisconsin, Ticket King. Visit their locations in Milwaukee and Green Bay, or just go to their website at TicketKing.com. Again, that's TicketKing.com.
Hi, everyone. How are you? Are you calm? Because I'm not. What a day. What a game. It is Sunday at 8:30. It is Victory Sunday. And in if there's been a better game in recent memory for the Packers, I'm struggling to remember it. Welcome to Pulse of the Pack. Jason and I are here to recap Packers and Cowboys. The Green Bay Packers have advanced to the NFC Championship game. I am your host, emotionally drained. I need a cigarette, and I do not smoke. I'm Jacob Westendorf, and I am grinning from ear to ear. Joined with me, as always, is Jason Perrone, Upbeat Lollipop. Jason, how are you feeling?
Upbeat Lollipop was in full effect tonight, and we are going to break it down. We're going to spend the entire What Were You Thinking segment on my Twitter timeline, because I got beat up tonight, and justifiably so. This was one of those games where, had I turned out to be right with a lot of the tweets that I sent out, everybody's mad at me because I was being negative ahead of time, and then it really happened, and so then they feel like, well, you're taking credit for negativity when you didn't even know what was happening. And the old adage, not a true fan, or when they overcome the odds like they did, them being the Packers, then everybody just loves to chastise me. Honestly, I don't mind it. I'll take my licks. I'll eat my crow. I interacted with one tweeter in particular who said, enjoy your dinner, because he said earlier this week, Ryan Cross actually was the follower, and he's at Ryan Cross 32. Great guy. Said, enjoy your dinner. He remembered the whole eat crow thing. So, you know how I am during games. Jacob, you and I have talked about this. I know how I am during games, and I kind of do it as, because I'm kind of a character. It's almost like kind of the heel character in the WWE. It's what I do. I don't do it to annoy people. Might be a little bit of a defense mechanism, that's true, but it is who I am. And I think over the last 4 years that I've been with Cheesehead TV, with Jersey Allen, his team, and now doing this show for the second season in a row, I think everybody kind of gets it. So I've reached that sweet spot where everyone just kind of blows it off. And they just kind of shake their head and laugh, especially when the Packers win. So I couldn't be any happier. I'm not going to lie. When Crosby hit that field goal, I fell to the ground and I sobbed like a child, because that was, for me, we talked about this last week, I watched all those Packers teams that were so good in the 1990s have their seasons end in Dallas when Aikman, who called the game on Fox, ironically, today, Irvin, Emmitt Smith, that offensive line, Jay Novacek, all those guys used to always break the hearts of Packers fans, and we're so far removed from that now. And the Packers are now 3-0 in that building that is AT&T Stadium, that is Jerry World. But to me, it was another playoff demon exercise, and now it's official, Jacob. This season is special. They took care of Eli and the Giants at Lambeau last week. They took care of Dallas in Dallas in a playoff game, and now they're headed to Atlanta. By the way, Falcons fans, you're welcome for one last game in your stadium before you open up your new stadium next year, where number 12, Aaron Rodgers, our man, our guy, had one of the best games of his life. So I would say I'm kind of pumped up right now.
I'm pumped up as well, and I'll get to my reaction because it really was a lot. I will say I'm not one to toot my own horn, but whether it was with my head or with my heart, we won't get into the semantics. It was absolutely with my heart. Last week on the show, I called it. And I hate it when people do that because a lot of people like for example, a couple years ago when the Seahawks played the Broncos in the Super Bowl, and you got people on like Twitter and Facebook and stuff saying like, oh, I called it, those two teams in the Super Bowl. Like, you're not really going out on a limb when you pick like the two favorites, or, you know, or if you say like a big money free agent is going to sign with the Yankees and saying like, oh, I called it, this guy's going to sign with the Yankees. Well, no shit. Like, a lot of people sign with the Yankees. That's not really going out on a limb. But in this case, I did call it 34-31. And for those of you that want to check the audio, you can go to last week's show, or I can video screenshot the message that I sent to everybody because I doubled down on it all week. 34-31, and I said Money Mason at the buzzer. And sure enough, that's what happens. And Jason, I do want to start this because we do have one person who's listening that is very special, to me at least. And what is the name of the article that you write every Monday for Cheesehead TV?
It is called Game Balls and Lame Calls, where I break down the best and worst Packers performances from the previous game.
Okay. So I don't want to give out Ticket King of the Game to this because that is reserved for Packers players. However, if I may, I will give out a game ball because for the last 2 days, the lovely Frankie Rybarski has dealt with me. And dealing with me before a big Packers game is no easy task. And I could tell by the look on her face before each of Mason Crosby's field goals today, she was more nervous maybe than I was. I don't know if that's the case or not, but very happy and very thankful to spend today's moment with you. So, Frankie, I love you very much. Thank you for sharing this with me today. She's a good luck charm, and I will point out that the Packers have not lost a game since she and I have officially been together. So, if you want to look to someone other than Aaron Rodgers, maybe it's her. So, good luck charm, I guess, if you will. So, my game ball, if you will, goes to Frankie Rybarski. So, before this gets too sentimental and more like an episode of Dr. Phil, let's get into the game. The Cowboys go down the field, and it's 3-0. And the Packers, really, that's a win. You know, if you think about it with this Packers defense, it really is about trading touchdowns for field goals. The Packers want to hold the opposing offense to field goals while Aaron Rodgers scores touchdowns, and that's what they did. The Packers go, and after the field goal, it's 21-3. So, Jason, let's start there because this show, I will let you guys know, it's not scripted, and it really is just in essence. It's going to be a what were you thinking show throughout the game because this game was a wide range of emotions. And at 21-3, I want to know, like, what were you thinking? And for me, knowing this Packers team and really over the last couple of years, and I know I always say, like, every year is different, and it is to some degree. However, when you have, like, the same general core, so Mike McCarthy, Aaron Rodgers, Clay Matthews, Julius Peppers, et cetera, you got the same guys in there, then there's a personality that comes in. So knowing when it's 21-3, I'm thinking this game's going one of two ways. The Dallas Cowboys with two rookies are either going to fold like a cheap suit and the Packers are going to blow them off the field and it's going to be 49-10, or the Packers are going to blow this lead and we're going to have a hard stopper. So that is what I was thinking at 21-3, but in no way, shape, or form am I thinking this game is over. Jason, knowing you the way that I – pretty sure that I do. What are you thinking at 21-3?
All right, Jacob, let's see how well you remember some of our previous shows and conversations. Can you think of another game in the last 5 years in which the Packers actually had a 21-3 lead and the game did end in dramatic fashion. And do you know which game it is that I'm talking about?
Okay, so it was 21-3, and the game ends in dramatic fashion.
I was at this
in the
game.
Last. You were, oh, the Colts, and we lost.
There you
they
go.
Lost.
There you go. There you
Crosby
go. So, yes. So there you go. So, as you know, I am eye-rollingly, I just made up a term, very historic. I'm a historian. I can't not be a historian. We're going to talk about the mid-90s at some point during this show, and Jacob is going to roll his eyes. Don't make him roll into the back of your head, man. So I'm sitting here thinking, this game is not over, but I love what I'm seeing from the Packers offense. I'm encouraged. I love what I see from Rodgers. Jacob, Rodgers, you know, we might want to talk about this. Rodgers made some really nice throws off his back foot, just lofts that ball up there. He missed some throws today. I mean, if he had hit on some of those throws that he missed, we're not talking about a game-winning field goal by Mason Crosby. We're talking about a kneel down, because there were several long plays that the Packers had that they just unfortunately weren't able to capitalize on. But I wasn't thinking the game was over. I knew that the defense was going to have to make some plays. And we all know that especially with Burnett going out with the quad injury, Kentrell Bryce is in there. You got too many weapons on offense for Dallas that the Packers have to kind of be smart about how they're going to defend the Dallas offense. You know, with a lead like that now, do you need to go crazy and do too much risky stuff? Do you need to send your DBs on a blitz? Well, Micah Hyde did have an early sack, which was nice. But are you going to do those kinds of things and leave the rest of the secondary open when you've got guys like Dez Bryant? Terrence Williams had a nice day today. Zeke Elliott's just Zeke Elliott. Too many things to cover. So, and there was too much ball game. There was way too much ball game that was left. So I was okay. I was glad to have that lead. But then the other part of me was thinking to myself too, and you can tell it by my tweet timeline, and I encourage all of you to go look at my tweet timeline during this game and give me as much crap as you want, because I was totally upbeat lollipop. Now I have to be happy about this lead, but I also have to be extremely upset and disappointed in advance when I have to deal with the moment that the Cowboys overtake the Packers and overcome this and end up winning this game. And correct me if I'm wrong though, Jacob, Dallas was, I think they were up 3-0 at the beginning of the game, but from that point forward, I don't think they ever took the lead again, did they?
No, they didn't. The only time they tied the game at 28 apiece, but that was it. And they tied the game again at 31 apiece, obviously before the last play of the game. But yeah, no way do I ever believe a playoff game is over. The only thought that maybe entered my mind is let's see what Dak Prescott is made of, because Marcus Eversole, great note that came out after the Packers took a 14-3 lead. The next pass that Dak Prescott threw after that was the 17th when he was trailing by double digits. And that speaks to how good the Cowboys have been all season. But at the same time, I think it's a fair question to ask, you know, could Dak Prescott lead a Cowboys offense when he can't really lean on Ezekiel Elliott in the running game to be efficient down the field and, you know, kind of throw in between the numbers? And to his credit, you know, he didn't fold. He did some really good things. Dez Bryant was incredible. And I'm not going to make any bones about it. I don't like Dez Bryant. I tend to not like receivers like him. I know a lot of people, I've said this before, a lot of people say that's just how receivers are. Well, I watch Julio Jones and some other guys, and I say, you know, receivers don't have to be like that. And I don't mean the showboating stuff. I've said before, I don't mind that stuff. I just mean Dez Bryant really gives the impression that it's all about him. And I think the term crybaby is overused, but that's kind of how he is. I don't like Dez Bryant. It really didn't do me a whole lot of good to watch him tear up the Packers today, but he did. And, you know, to his credit, he did really well. And the Cowboys, they go down and they make it 21-13 before the half, and the Packers come out, and it looks like a lot of the first half. And Aaron Rodgers is methodical. The throw off of his, you know, Jason, you're talking about throws off his back foot. The throw to Cobb on the sideline to start the second half. I mean, during this portion of the game, I'm starting to think, like, Aaron Rodgers is in 2011 Atlanta mode. And that is still the best I've ever seen anybody play the quarterback position, is 2011 in Atlanta, which ironically enough is 6 years ago today, when the Packers went into Atlanta and just trounced the Falcons en route to a Super Bowl victory. That's the best I've ever seen him play. And I'm thinking he's in that mode. Packers go down, they score, Jared Cook catches a touchdown, and he has been phenomenal since returning from that ankle injury. He's not Rob Gronkowski. He's an excellent role player. I don't know if he'll ever be a go-to target in this offense, but with an offense that hopefully can get Jordy Nelson back next week, Randall Cobb has done some really good things. Devontae Adams, hopefully his ankle is good enough to go next week. That, I think, was the most impressive part of Aaron Rodgers today is, you know, we talked about it last week, Jason, was, is the Packers offense better equipped without Jordy Nelson? And today, I mean, you got Geronimo Allison had a good day. Randall Cobb had a good day. Devontae Adams made some big plays. Jared Cook, Richard Rodgers, Ty Montgomery out of the backfield did some good things. But I really think that starts with just, if anybody ever thinks that Aaron Rodgers does not tilt the field toward his team, today is just the prime example of that. Because I was talking to a guy, one of my friends, and just thinking about after the game's over, and you're thinking about how, you know, the Packers are in the NFC Championship game now. That's what we're talking about as the game's over. And if you think about it, what do the Packers do? What do they have that's elite? It's like, okay, they have Aaron Rodgers, and they have a really good offensive line. And that's it. That's all they have. And Jordy Nelson, obviously, when he's healthy, is an elite receiver, I think. But he wasn't healthy today. Aaron Rodgers tilted the field toward the Packers. The Cowboys are a better team than the Packers from top to bottom. Why did the Packers win today? Because they have number 12. I'm getting a little off kilter today because I'm drooling over Aaron Rodgers, so I'm sorry. But his greatness was on full display today. So, Jason, I say all that to ask, what are you thinking when the Packers go up then 28-13? No, they didn't double dip because they didn't get a chance to score before the half, but it's 28-13 and they're back in full control.
Still feeling good. Offense is moving the ball. Defense is hanging in there. Defense got some stops early. You know, they kind of, as far as stopping the Cowboys, they really, really stepped up and played really well early on. And I thought if they can continue on with this and they can get, you know, Dallas kind of frustrated and off their game and the lead builds up, you can't just ride Zeke Elliott, you know, and that's the one thing I wanted to avoid was having the ball in 21's hands, running wild all over the place. And he had himself a pretty decent day as it was, but I was feeling okay at that point, and I'm all about the double dip, you know, getting points at the end of the second half. I was actually kind of, you know, normally I'm a huge proponent of on defense to start the game. I like to kind of know that you have that possession coming out of halftime because either if you have the momentum, you have a chance to put the game away with a huge score right out of the gate in the second half, and then you can kind of relax a little bit. Or you get the ball if you're struggling and you can jumpstart your offense and hopefully that leads you on your way to either coming back or sealing a big victory. Well, I don't know who won the toss or not, but of course the Packers start out on defense and I'm thinking, man, against this Dallas offense, the last thing you want is to be up 7-0. So for them to tighten up and hold them to a field goal was great. But at that point I was still feeling okay, but I knew that the Packers were going to need to score some more points. I wasn't going to be comfortable unless they were up four scores. And I know I have these ridiculous thresholds that I want the Packers to have in order for me to feel comfortable when most people would be okay being up just two possessions. But this is Dallas. This is in Dallas. They're still a great team, you know, and their offense is starting to move the ball. I started talking about, you know, I talked about Dez Bryant this week. He had himself a pretty decent game. Dez did not drop the ball today. So the Packers overcame a lot. But at that point I was still feeling okay. My upbeat lollipop hadn't quite come out in full effect at that point. So I was feeling all right. Packers were moving the ball. 12 was running the offense, and I was just really happy to see that because I'm thinking like if they get past this week, there's every reason to think that he's going to play to the same level that he did a few years ago when they made a deep playoff run. 2 years ago, they made a deep playoff run to Seattle in the NFC Championship game. And obviously in 2010 when he just blazed through everybody and got the Packers to a Super Bowl. So we're still feeling pretty good at that point.
As was I. It was, I think the turning point and really the chance to make the game a blowout again was 28-13, and Dak Prescott makes a rookie mistake in a play that Micah Hyde, we've seen he's had a chance on Christmas Eve and against the Vikings, and he finally made the play. Dez Bryant misses the block, and Micah Hyde gets an interception, and the Packers have a chance to make it 35-13. And what I'm thinking at that point, first of all, I have to make a public apology to Micah Hyde because I have beaten on this guy since he was a rookie, and you know what? All he's done, especially in this stretch, is just play his best football for the Green Bay Packers. Micah Hyde has been phenomenal. So, Micah, if you're listening, and I'm sure you are, I'm sorry for some of the mean things I've said to you. At that time, I was ready to take them all back because I was quite certain the Packers were going to put them all away. And if they had scored a touchdown or even kicked a field goal on that drive, it's a three-possession game. Instead, Rodgers throws a bad ball to Davante Adams, really the only bad throw he made all day. Throws one too far inside, and some guy named Jeff Heath makes an interception. And really, it's at minimum a 10-point swing. And instead of game over, 28-13, the Cowboys have the ball back. And Jason, I know you, so we went from game over, because 35-13 with, I think at that time, there was very little left in the third quarter. We go back from that to what were you, you know, we're going from game over and making plans for Atlanta to, I'm thinking, you know, we got a ball game now because I fully expected Dallas to score after that. But at that point, you know, what are you thinking? It's 28-13 now and Aaron just made a turnover.
I knew that there was probably going to be a turnover in this game. I mean, Aaron Rodgers has been great. He's played some great football. He hasn't had any interceptions in a long time. Commentators love to throw that stat up there, and as soon as they do, I think to myself, he's going to throw one on this play, and I hate you, whoever it was that said that. In this case, it was Joe Buck, who everybody seems to love to hate, which if we have time, we should probably talk about this, Jacob, because let's get off of Aikman and Buck. They were fine. They don't hate the Packers. They were very impartial. I thought Troy Aikman was, for as much as he's a Packer, is not a Packers fan, and he probably doesn't care for Green Bay, and he is a Cowboys fan, he called it like it was, and he was fair, and that's just simple. That's just, you know, that's just good commentating, and he does a good job. But
Jason,
you know,
I'll jump in
the
right
turnover,
now.
The turnover. Yeah, go ahead. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. Joe Buck and Troy Aikman are the best commentators in football. I firmly believe that. I mean, yeah, you can make your arguments for Michaels and Collinsworth or whatever, but I don't have a problem with Buck and Aikman. I find myself dumbfounded every week. From what I listen to, Buck and Aikman don't hate the Packers. Does Aikman maybe have an allegiance to the Cowboys? Well, of course, he played for them. Like, you go into every game kind of expecting that. But Aikman didn't say anything today that was over the line. And, I mean, I didn't think I heard anything that was, like, cheering on the Cowboys during their comeback. And I think Aikman's been fair. When the Packers have played well, he said they've played well. When the Packers have played poorly, like they were early in the season, he said they've played poorly. And Buck and Aikman have done a good job. And I think those of you that have, if any of you that are listening have signed that stupid petition, let me tell you, they take that petition, they look at it, they laugh, and they throw it in the garbage. Like, they're not going to keep Buck and Aikman off of Packers games. That's stupid. Those guys are their A-team. They're the A-team for the reason. And you should be happy that the Packers are getting those guys because we could be stuck with drivel like David Deal, who can't say the name Brian Bulaga and calls him Brian Beluga, and he calls Micah Hyde Micaiah Hyde. Buck and Aikman do a great job every week. So there's my – that's about all I have to say about the whole Buck and Aikman thing. I get it. They're on TV a lot, and you probably would rather hear Wayne and Larry. But if you want to hear Wayne and Larry, mute the TV and turn on the radio. That's what I would say.
Yeah, exactly. And the only other thing I want to say, too, about the interception was that safety Heath for the Cowboys, I didn't know who he was, and I think he's probably had the game of his life tonight. And if there isn't a penalty, he might have had a second interception. And, you know, then all of a sudden, I think he came on a blitz and he got a hit on Rodgers. I mean, this kid showed up and had a really big game, and it could have turned the game around had the Packers not responded the way that they did. So you knew there were probably going to be some turnovers, though. It's just, you know, as you get later and later in the playoffs, these teams take more and more chances because they're trying to get to pay dirt. They want that championship. They can smell it. They want the ring. They want the trophy. You're starting to see guys play a little bit differently. It's more chippy. There's more close contact. You know, and I will say, Tony Corrente's crew refereed this game. Never been a major, major fan of his because I've seen his crews kind of get a little flag happy. Couldn't have been more, you know, I know they missed some calls, and I know there was some controversy about holding and things that they didn't see. I thought they missed calls on both ends, to be honest with you. I thought the crew did a really good job of not letting the flags determine the game and be the storyline. So, you know, as much as we give the officiating a hard time, I was okay with it. But, yeah, that interception, it never makes you feel good because Rodgers is just such a good quarterback. And it's like, okay, a tip ball, I can understand. That's not really totally Rodgers' fault. But that throw that he made was just not great. Although I will acknowledge, and it always seems to be the case based on Rodgers' body language, but you don't know what the actual play call was, but it seemed like I thought he was expecting Devontae Adams to cut back inside. And I don't know enough about the X's and O's to know if that's what Adams was supposed to do. So I'm sure the film study guys this week will clarify that. But, you know, I wasn't encouraged, and I just kind of started thinking, like, here we go, because it's all about momentum shifts. It's like you don't want to get that crowd back in the game, and you don't want Dak Prescott and these guys to get all of this confidence, because then they just start dealing. And they did kind of start dealing. It was like Cole Beasley over the middle. It was Dez Bryant. Terrence Williams once again has a huge game. I swear his biggest games come against the Packers. All of those things were the reason why my tweets were what they were.
Agreed. I just came across a couple stats that I thought were intriguing. So that's what I was reading. So sorry for the delay, but so the final score of today's game is 34-31, and this goes back to the Packers have Aaron Rodgers, and that's what tilted the field, at least in my opinion. So yards per play, Green Bay finished with 6.6. Dallas finished with 6.7, so 0.1 yards per play more. Green Bay had 27 first downs, Dallas 25. Both teams were 6 for 11 on third down. Both teams gave away the ball once. The Packers had the ball for 29 minutes and 46 seconds. The Cowboys had the ball for 30 minutes and 14 seconds. The Packers won by 3 points on a field goal at the buzzer. Again, when you have a great quarterback like that, Ron Wolf used to always say this about Brett Favre, he tilts the field in your favor. How many points that's worth? I don't know. But today in Green Bay, or today in Dallas, I should say, today for Green Bay, be thankful that it was worth at least 3 points, because that's what it gave for the Packers in that. So, the Cowboys don't go down the field. They score a touchdown. The Packers end up going 3 and out. Of course, as soon as the Packers didn't put the game away at 28-13, you knew this game was going down to the wire. Cowboys go down the field. They score. They get the 2-point conversion. It's 28 apiece. Aaron Rodgers has the ball. And the first thing I'm thinking is, listen, I hate narratives. I hate, you know, the stuff like playoff Eli is a narrative. Eli Manning sucks. That's how I feel. Aaron Rodgers isn't clutch. Something like that. That is what a narrative is, for example. But during games, anything analytical goes out the window with me. So the only thing I'm thinking at 28 apiece with about 4 minutes-ish left is I know the people who say Aaron Rodgers can't do it are guys like Bayless and Florio and Cowherd and just clowns. I know that. But, and I know I don't pay attention to those guys. I know I've said I block those guys. If you retweet Skip Bayless, I unfollow you. That's a fact. And that's been done several times this week. Just this week alone, because obviously the Cowboys are playing the Packers. So some people are retweeting that crap into my timeline. If you retweet him, I unfollow you. At the same time, the only thing I'm thinking at 28 apiece is Aaron, do what they say, and by they I mean stupid people, say that you can't. And they say that you can't bring a team down the field, and they say that you can't win a game with a drive like that. And if not for a horrendous play call on second down, which was, I'm not play calling guy. I think that's just a Cheesehead TV thing. But it's a thing, regardless. The second down play after the Packers were starting to get the Cowboys to use their timeouts was incredibly predictable. They bring in a fullback. They bring in Jason Spriggs. And they run off tackle to the left and just get stuffed. And the Cowboys use their second timeout. And it's 3rd and 13. And the Packers now, they don't have a manageable third down. They're really on the fringe of Mason Crosby field goal range. It's a 56-yard field goal from where they're at. If they get a first down, they can make the Cowboys use their last timeout and run the clock out and win it right there. Cowboys don't even get the ball back. Instead, Rodgers throws an incomplete pass, and the Cowboys are going to get a chance to throw the ball back. Now, to Mason Crosby's credit, he kicks a bomb and makes it 31-28. But the only thing I can think of, Jason, and this is where I kind of joined your side of things, is the defense is on the field. There were 93 seconds left, 1 minute and 33 seconds. And I'm like, I know exactly what's going to happen. The Cowboys are going to go down the field. They're going to score a touchdown with – they're either going to score a touchdown with like 5 seconds left, or they're going to kick a field goal and the Packers are going to lose in overtime. That's what I was thinking. And I was trying to block that from my head. I'm hoping that Demaryius Randle, who was getting abused all day, or Ladarius Gunter, or somebody was going to make a play, or that Dak Prescott was just going to find a way to screw up. But that's what I was thinking after Crosby made that kick. I'm thinking, somebody please make a stop. But I had about no confidence in that happening. So, Jason, I saw your tweet. Your tweet said Cowboys at Falcons next week. So I'm pretty sure that you felt the same way. But walk us through it.
Yeah, I mean, I was just going to kind of go through my Twitter timeline if you want to. So let me read my tweets. And those of you who are listening to this show, please feel free to tweet at me, retweet me, give me a hard time, put me on blast. I know that if I put stuff like this out there that I have to take the good with the bad. If I'm going to dish it, I have to be able to take it. So I'm absolutely willing to take my lumps here. So here are the tweets that I sent out. In order, Cowboys Falcons next week. I don't know what this Packers team needs to win, but they need a lot of it, and I'm glad that it's not my job to fix. That was basically me talking about during this offseason after the Packers lose this game to the Cowboys. Next tweet, Emmett Dorsett pumped up, crowd crazy, Rodgers flustered, and a drop on first down. Been here before. Following tweet, and Adams is hurt. Just go down when the defensive back is there. Take the yards you got and live to play another down, which was a dumb comment because Adams actually caught the ball and had to fight for additional yards, and then he just tweaked his ankle, did return. Hopefully he's okay for next week. He had an ankle injury last year, so hopefully it had nothing to do with that same ankle. Next tweet, division round, two top receivers out on the road. Two top receivers out on the road with a tied game late. Great. That tweet basically alluded to the fact that that's the situation that the Packers were in last year against the Arizona Cardinals. We all know how that game ended. Next tweet, the white safety for Dallas is not an eligible receiver 12, which was basically my way of saying stop throwing at that guy because he's catching everything. Then Mason hits the field goal. Too much time on the clock was my following tweet. Then GD, which you all know what GD stands for, too much time on the clock. Fuck. But do we want overtime with the past? The historian in me says if the Packers have to go to overtime in a playoff game, forget about it. Next tweet, Hawkins is in. Good night. Next tweet, Cowboys got to be thinking TD here. Then I figured they were going to overtime. I didn't know what the situation was going to be in terms of what the Packers would do with the ball, and I basically just said overtime, colon, pukey face. So that's what I was thinking, in order.
That, my friends, is the most entertaining thing ever. And, Jason, I'm really disappointed in myself because one of the tweets you had later, one of my favorite movies ever is the first Major League.
Yeah.
And the second Major League is not as good. However,
no.
Randy Quaid is in the second Major League, and his character in that movie is you. Like, without the whole, like, you don't root for the Indians, like, him rooting for the White Sox in that movie is the equivalent of you rooting for the Vikings, which you wouldn't do. But
correct.
That's you. How I've missed that in the 5 years that I've known you, I don't know. But I'm very disappointed in myself. Nonetheless, the Cowboys marched right down the field. The Packers needed one play on defense, and they got enough. Clay Matthews came on a stunt. He hit Dak Prescott, and Nick Perry knocked down a pass on third down to force the Cowboys to kick a field goal with enough time and two timeouts. Kudos to Mike McCarthy here for not trying to ice the kicker because that would have wasted the timeout. Kudos to Mike McCarthy on that. Dan Bailey boots the field goal through. The Packers get the ball back,
and all I'm thinking is the Packers have to win here because, Jason, again, you try not to think of bad memories, but overtime games in the Mike McCarthy era, and in Aaron Rodgers' era, for that matter. Aaron Rodgers has never been a part of a win in overtime. Packers have never won an overtime game with Aaron Rodgers as the quarterback. So I'm thinking they have to win now. Ty Montgomery catches a screen pass that gets him to the 40, and I'm thinking, okay, they're in business. And then Rodgers gets sacked on the next play. They burn their timeout. And it's third and 20, and this is where turn legendary. And it's legendary on the surface, but it gets better once you hear the story. Jared Cook makes a Rodgers rolls to his left and throws a dart. Jared Cook makes a ridiculous catch, keeping his shin off the ground. His toe drags the sideline. He holds the ball, makes a great catch to put the Packers in field goal range. The catch alone, that play alone, is stuff of legends to set up the field goal. Jason, have you heard the story about that play?
I haven't. I have to honestly say that I have not.
Okay, well, sit tight then. That play that Rodgers ran was not a play call. He drew up stuff in the dirt and basically said, here you go. This is what we're going to run. And it worked. It was, to quote Cheeseburger Eddie from The Longest Yard, some schoolyard BS. And it worked and set up the game-winning field goal. Game-winning field goal attempt, I should say. So, Jason, now that I've told you that, what are you thinking now about just what all that means when it comes to Aaron Rodgers and what this game means for him?
Well, remember I said in last week's podcast with the Giants game that if you looked at the pregame warm-up tape of Rodgers that they show on the broadcast, he was laser-focused. He knows opportunities don't always lead to the big ending. He knows that while he's got years left to play, and he keeps showing it, and I'm still amazed by the recovery that he made from those leg injuries and that he's got his mobility back so fast. I mean, I thought we were going to be dealing with the rest of the season and Rodgers not able to move around with the groin and the hamstring. The hamstring and the calf. It's no surprise to me that he's doing everything that he can. You look at his demeanor on the sideline during the game and he's smiling. He's still loose. He's talking to his players. He's locked in. He feels like, okay, we got this. He doesn't have that panicked look on his face. He doesn't have the same look that he had during this middle of the season when they were on that terrible run that they went on, and he just wasn't able to find receivers and just didn't get it done and couldn't get it done because he wasn't confident or guys weren't getting open or he didn't have who he wanted out there and Cook was out and all those various things were going on. Rodgers and this team know what it is that they have in front of them, and it might not be the same core of guys that they had when they won the championship 6 years ago. That's a special group that's probably never going to be equaled in Green Bay, because – even if you look back in the late 90s at the group that won Super Bowl 31 with Favre, and you had Reggie and Leroy Butler and Eugene Robinson and, Andre Rison came in late, Desmond Howard and Favre, all of those guys, like even the 2010 team doesn't compare to that. But this group is quickly building a legacy for themselves to where, are we going to be looking back and we're going to be talking about this Packers team that, man, remember the days when they had Mike Daniels and Julius Peppers came in, and they had Aaron Rodgers and Jordy Nelson and Cobb and Devontae Adams and Jared Cook came in as a free agent. I mean, how special would that be? Because the way that they've done it has been such a roller coaster this year. But, to see the schoolyard football like that and to see this team practices broken play. This team practices play broke down, everybody get open. So for Cook to finally be on that same page and, whoever that defensive back is for Dallas, I saw some tweets on Twitter. He's not the most popular guy in the Lone Star State tonight, and he's probably going to have some nightmares for a while about letting Cook find that soft spot. But that throw was incredible, and the catch was even more amazing. But it's Aaron Rodgers keeping plays alive with his mobility, and all I can say, Jacob, is I am so glad that he's on my side Because how frustrating is it when you see your defense doing everything right and they're playing so well and they're following the scheme and they seem to have it taken care of and they seem to have it covered, and then that.
I mean, I can tell you, living in the area that I do, just talking to friends of mine that are Bears fans, Vikings fans, Cowboys fans, I mean, I'm very fortunate having watched just Favre and Aaron Rodgers, and specifically now Aaron Rodgers, because you're talking about a guy who might be – we might be witnessing the greatest quarterback skill set ever. I think that's fair to say. I mean, obviously, he's not as accomplished as some of the others. He doesn't have four championships, so we can't talk about all that stuff just yet. But as far as a skill set, I mean, you can hear the fear in the voices of my friends when we start talking about, oh, the Bears play the Packers this week, and then we start talking about some of the matchups, and then they're like, well, you guys have Aaron Rodgers. And they know what that means. And the Cowboys, my friends that are Cowboys fans, then we were talking this week, and they're like, you know, I'm like, oh, we don't match up, you know, very well. You guys got Dez, and, you know, we've got to cover him with Ladarius Gunter, and, you know, you got these receivers, and we don't really have an answer for that. And you've got Zeke and this offensive line, and they're like, well, you've got Aaron Rodgers, and he's playing like that. I mean, the fear in their voices just talking about the Packers quarterback, that's the luxury that we have as fans that I don't know that we're grateful enough for, and I don't know that the Packers will be until – Packers fans will be until he's gone, and we don't have that anymore, which, you know, hopefully he's not for quite some time yet. But that's how good he was. Jason, I want to know, though, it's – you know, I talk about the Jared Cook catch. We're doing what are you thinking? What are you thinking when Mason lines up to kick the ball?
Mason Crosby has been incredible this season, so I have no qualms about it. I feel good. I feel good about it because it's indoors. Crosby said in pregame, I saw on Twitter that he had told McCarthy during pregame warmups that his range stretched all the way back to 58 yards. So, and we've seen him kick some really long field goals in his day, both outside and inside. Inside in the dome like that with no wind, he's been so good this year. I had no issues at all. I thought to myself, my only concern or my only question was, okay, I think he's probably going to get iced here. They're going to call timeout, and they're going to do it at the last second. So, you know, I don't know how much this is going to work. I didn't feel like it was going to work against Crosby. Crosby's too seasoned, and he's too, you know, not going to fall for the – as I refer to it, and Jacob, you've heard me say this before, and I say this with some of my friends who, you know, no offense to you because – you know, I mean, obviously there's an age gap here, but I grew up in the 80s, and Beverly Hills Cop was a huge movie in the 80s. And one of the famous lines from that movie is Eddie Murphy saying he put a banana in the tailpipe of a car to be funny to these cops that were trying to follow him. And they caught up to him, and they said, hey, listen, we're not going to fall for the banana in the tailpipe again. And so I use that term anytime that somebody does something or falls for something that is so obvious. So it's like, I don't think Crosby's going to allow the banana in the tailpipe to keep him from actually making a second field goal. So he lines up a second time, and I have to tell you another funny story. Jacob, I already told you this. So I have DirecTV, and so I record every Packers game. So I can go back and watch it again, and when I do my post-game recaps, I have, you know, better idea of what actually happened, and I can act like I know what I'm talking about. And I always add the extended time onto it because if it goes into overtime, I don't want to miss that, and I want to make sure that gets recorded. So the game is over. And I want to go back and watch this game-winning kick because that thing was funky. And I noticed that the recording has already stopped, which is usually a bad sign because normally if it's still going on like 15, 20 minutes after the game, I know that I definitely caught the whole game. Well, the recording's already over. So I go back and I'm watching and I'm fast-forwarding and I'm all the way to the end. There's like 2 minutes left on the recording and Crosby's just lining up to try the first try. And they call timeout, so that didn't work. And the recording stops right as Crosby's taking his first step to kick the game winner. So I don't have that on DVR, and I'm lividly pissed about it. But I knew he would get iced, but he came out the second time, and I'm like, you know what? This one's going to be just as much down the middle as the first one was. And Crosby, man, that kick's so funny. It looked like it was going to go wide left. I'm like, here we go. It's overtime. This is going to be a disaster. And it starts to hook in, and then I'm thinking, does it have the distance? And I see it go through, and I fell to the floor in a heap and started bawling like a child. It was absolutely insane. But I do have to say, I wasn't very surprised that Crosby made that kick because he's Mason Crosby. But a huge, 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 if I've ever given you kudos and ever given you a shout-out, Jacob, it is right now tonight. That's why I named the show what I did, Money Mason at the Buzzer. You called this earlier this week. You had nothing to go on. There was no reason to think that that was actually what was going to happen because it's all been about Rodgers and the receivers and making plays and touchdowns in the end zone. And sure enough, Money Mason at the Buzzer in Dallas for a huge win to send the Packers to the NFC Championship game. You're a prophet, man. All I want to know is, I'll give you a day or two to think about it, but I need this week's winning lotto numbers, please.
2, 2, 12, 89, 2. With a Powerball number of, let's see, 33, because Micah Hyde got the interception. So there you go. Everybody, if you win the lottery, I expect some of the winnings. What I'm thinking as he lines up to make the kick, first of all, I may have may have made a promise that I don't know if I can necessarily keep. I said that I would name my firstborn son Mason if he made this kick, because going into this game, I can't remember the last time I was this nervous, because in 2014 when they played Seattle, I had a calm about me that I couldn't believe, because I just had this quiet confidence that they were going to win, and they should have. Last year in the Arizona game, I wasn't nervous because I didn't think they were going to win, and I really didn't think the Packers were that good. This year, I really have this feeling that I told you guys last week that I had this feeling that this team is special and that this is a magic carpet ride, and I have this feeling that it culminates in Houston and with a fifth Super Bowl trophy. And that can't happen, obviously. And I hate the Dallas Cowboys. I hate the Dallas Cowboys. I told you, Ezekiel Elliott lives to torment me. I don't like Cowboys fans. They were the most insufferable visiting fan base. Every time I go to Lambeau, they're the worst fans to be around. Their fans are so arrogant every time they play. Everything is about them, even when they could be 3-13 and they make everything about them. I couldn't stand the thought of the Packers season ending against the Cowboys. And that's something where if the Packers aren't going to win the Super Bowl, something I hope for is that they lose to a team I can at least tolerate losing to. Obviously, you can't tolerate losing to anybody, but you can learn to live with something. Now that the Cowboys are out, the only team really left that I can't stand the thought of losing to is the New England Patriots. And we'll see if that happens down the road, obviously. But going into the kick, I mean, I turned to one of my friends. I said, first of all, if he makes this, I'm going to tackle you, because he was sitting on my couch. But I was like, I said, it's going to be 34-31, and Mason Crosby is going to make a field goal at the buzzer. Like, why would I feel any – why do I think he's going to miss this kick? Of course, I knew they were going to call the timeout and ice the kicker. So I didn't even worry about the first kick. All I said was make it again. Well, when the kick went in the air, the only thing I was thinking was he missed it to the left, like Jason said. But as soon as it went through, I tackled my friend. I just said to him, we did it. I can't believe it. We did it. Everybody's laughing. My dad's an Eagles fan, so we hate the Cowboys in this house. That's always been a thing. So he's happy that the Cowboys lost. I hugged my brother, who's a Packers fan. I picked Frankie up, and I swung her around the room a little bit. I mean, it was high emotion. Jason, you called, and I screamed into the phone. We talked for a little while, said we're going to do this show. And then once the emotion came down a little bit, I went outside because I walked Frankie out, and then I just kind of collapsed a little bit, and I shed a few tears myself just because Frankie's like, what's the deal? Like, you guys won. Like, why are you so – like, she understood, like, the magnitude that they won, but she knew that, like, they weren't going to the Super Bowl yet. And that they didn't win the Super Bowl, but she also knew that they didn't lose. But it was also kind of a big deal. But she's like, what are you doing? I was like, you don't understand. We always lose games like that. So it was nice to finally be on the winning side of one of those games. Because, I mean, literally, if you look at it, last year ends in overtime. Packers lose. NFC Championship game. I don't have to rehash it. They lose to the 49ers at the buzzer. 2011, 2012, they got blown out. The NFC Championship game against the Giants. I mean, typically when the Packers lose in the playoffs, it's a game like the one we just witnessed, and the Packers don't win playoff games that way. Even the games they won the year they went to the Super Bowl, it was kind of dramatic, but not like that. The Packers never won games like that. They just needed some guy to make one play. Aaron Rodgers, Jared Cook, Mason Crosby did just that. So the Packers win. They move on to the NFC Championship game where they will take on the Atlanta Falcons, who dispatched of the Seattle Seahawks relatively easily. Once they kind of got their footing under them, they blew the doors off of them. This isn't your same old Atlanta Falcons of, you know, years past where you're like, oh, you know, Matt Ryan and the Falcons, they're going to choke. Well, Matt Ryan, we've talked about him, Jason. I think he's the MVP of the NFL. If you go by my understanding of the award, that if you want to make it the most quote-unquote valuable player, and I know that's what the award's called, but really the understanding of the award is it's the player who has the best statistical season. That's what Matt Ryan has had, at least in my opinion, and he was most consistent throughout the year. I'll fully understand when they give him the MVP. I know a lot of guys on Twitter don't agree, especially guys like Justice Mosqueda, Ian Kenyon. I know have been arguing it a lot in recent weeks. Aaron Rodgers has certainly made his case the last 2 weeks. Unfortunately, it is a regular season only award. But the Falcons, it's not just Matt Ryan and Julio Jones. Their offense is scary. They have Devontae Freeman. They have Tevin Coleman. These two teams have met earlier this year. The Falcons won 33-32. It was a game the Packers played. It was during their, I believe that was the game that started their losing streak, if I'm not mistaken. They lost to the Falcons by 1 point. They couldn't get a late field goal. Matt Ryan threw a touchdown late in the game to end up winning that game. But the Packers had their chances. It was kind of before they got their footing on offense. Their defense, it's kind of the same story, so you kind of know what's going on there. But they didn't have Clay Matthews in that game. There's some cause for some optimism on the defensive side of the ball. But the Falcons are going to score points. It's in the Georgia Dome. That's what they do. They're going to score points. If the Packers are going to win this game, Jason, I think you and I can both agree, it's going to be on the right arm of Aaron Rodgers. The one question I want to ask, because since we're recording this and we kind of go around the league, do you think that either – because right now the Steelers and the Chiefs are playing, so we can't really make a game pick. Which team playing do you think gives the Patriots a better game? The Patriots won last night, didn't look particularly sound in doing so. But which team, the Steelers or the Chiefs, do you think can give the Patriots a better run in Foxborough in the AFC title game?
It's the Steelers. It's not even a question to me. I mean, Le'Veon Bell, I'm sitting here watching it. I'm watching the game as we're recording it, and that guy is just, like, unbelievable. He takes a handoff, and he stands there, like, still. Looking for a hole, he's got the patience, but as soon as he hits the hole, he's gone. It's like he's the complete anti-James Starks. Where Starks would stand there kind of like, oh, okay, there's no hole to run through. I'm just going to stop like I'm in a training camp practice, and that just wasn't the case. There have also been a ton of turnovers in this game between the Steelers and the Chiefs, so I don't know who's going to be left to play, but to me, it's Pittsburgh. Those two teams have faced off. They're familiar with each other, Big Ben, Tom Brady, going at it back and forth. Pittsburgh just has that mojo on defense. They've got a lot of playmakers, and Antonio Brown is just an incredible talent. You know, and as okay as I think New England's secondary is, they're not that great. I mean, you know, they held DeAndre Hopkins in check for the most part, and I just don't think that I think a guy like Antonio Brown can kind of turn them sideways. So, to me, it's Pittsburgh, and that's kind of what I'm hoping for, just from an exciting game standpoint. But, now, because I was talking with my brother as soon as the game ended, and now that we actually have to think about the Super Bowl and playing an AFC team, you know, do you want the Steelers to go through? Because then that could potentially mean the Packers are facing the Steelers, and this is a different Pittsburgh team than they saw in Super Bowl 45. So, you know, I mean – two teams get to the championship game. There's no reason to think either team can't win. They got all the way there. They're the best of the best. But I think it's Pittsburgh, even going into Foxborough, because Houston, surprisingly, for about 2.5 quarters, actually was kind of making a game of it. So, you know, Tom Brady can be had, and I think the Steelers can be the team to kind of take advantage and maybe steal one.
See, I think the opposite. I think, Jason, in the last few years, when the
Patriots have been beaten. How have they been beaten?
You know, I don't know. I mean, it just seems like pressure on Tom Brady, and Tom Brady's just been kind of garbagey, if I'm not mistaken.
Correct. And the Steelers don't rush the passer quite like your age-old Blitzberg. I know that the Steelers have the better quarterback. I know Ben Roethlisberger is much better than Alex Smith. But I think the Chiefs have Justin Houston, and they have Dee Ford, and they have some guys that can rush on the interior like Chris Jones. They have a good secondary with Marcus Peters and guys that can hold up out there. I tend to think that the Chiefs have the better defense, and I don't think that you beat the Patriots by trying to match them score for score, unless you have a guy like Aaron Rodgers, in which case we'll discuss that if that becomes what Super Bowl 51 is. But I don't think that you beat the Patriots by trying to win 34-31. I think you beat the Patriots by trying to beat the hell out of Tom Brady. And realistically, last night, the Texans, if they could just make a couple plays and keep Brock Osweiler from completely tanking by the end of that game, they were right there. Catch a couple interceptions, turn your head. The Patriots really did look ripe for the taking. But they didn't, and that's why they're the Patriots and they're in the AFC Championship game. So I don't know who's going to win that game. But realistically, none of us are going to care about that game if the first game doesn't go the way we want it to. The first game is at 2 o'clock. It's the last game in the Georgia Dome ever. It is the Green Bay Packers against the Atlanta Falcons. It's Aaron Rodgers against Matt Ryan. It's Julio Jones against maybe Jordy Nelson. Maybe it's Davante Adams, who's going to be the one who gets billed as the number one wide receiver. I don't know. But, Jason, we don't have a ton of time to break it down, and we wanted this show to be more about the emotion of beating the Dallas Cowboys. So with that, before I get to that, I should say, before we go to the Falcons, Adam Cech's ticket king of the game today. I always bag on kickers. I always say I can't believe how much time we spent on talking about a punter before the season started. I always say I won't rank Mason Crosby that high on a list of important Packers when we rank the roster because he's the kicker. I made fun of Bears fans before the season because I had fans that said they won't even watch the Bears because they cut Robbie Gould. And my response to that was, he's a frickin' kicker. But today, Mason Crosby made 107 yards worth of field goals to send the Packers to the NFC Championship game. And really, he made a 51-yard field goal twice. So really it was, if my math's correct, 158. Two 51-yarders. And a 56-yarder. That is ice in the veins. And this is a guy that in 2012, I believe it was 2012, we could not wait to run that guy out of town. And Mike McCarthy, loyal, stubborn, whatever word you want to call it, stood by his guy and said, no, Mason's our kicker, and Mason was the kicker, and you know what? With the game on the line now, I don't know if there's a guy that I want any more than Mason Crosby. And you know what? Mason Crosby delivered today. He is my Adam Cech ticket king of the game. With all due respect to Aaron Charles Rodgers, the MVP, one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time, legendary stuff. But Mason Crosby, money Mason, you made me look like a prophet, and we share a birthday. So I feel some sort of connection with you for that reason. And I said I would name my firstborn son after you if you made that field goal. So at minimum, I can give you Adam Cech's ticket king of the game. That is my guy. Jason, oh, and you know what? Since last week I did honorable mention, Micah Hyde. I made an apology to him earlier. The interception was huge. He is probably – I know the Packers' defense is not very good, but he's probably playing the best football in the Packers defense right now, and he's been very good over the last 8 or 9 weeks. So Micah Hyde gets honorable mention. So, Jason, before I keep rambling, who is your Adam Cech's ticket king of the game?
All right, well, I'll pick you up here because you were saying how you don't want to short Aaron Charles Rodgers and how amazing he was today. So he's getting a game ball from me. But as we have in the past weeks, you know, when Aaron Rodgers gets a game ball, there's always kind of a 1A because you could really give it to Rodgers every week. He earned his money this week. He earned it. I mean, he was absolutely fantastic in a game that the Packers needed him to be. trying to get more out of receivers that haven't played all season long. Geronimo Allison, you know, Devontae Adams has been good this year, but had to bring him up, kind of rise him up like the Phoenix after last season. No Nelson, so you know that he had a lot of things that he had to kind of do in order to make things happen, jumping around, rolling out, getting away from that Dallas pass rush because, you know, they started putting some pressure on him. And don't forget, Rod Marinelli, who we talked about earlier, he's familiar with Rodgers. I mean, he's put up some pretty good defensive schemes. So Rodgers mitigated a lot of what Dallas threw at him. I mean, Dallas had the right call, but when you've got Aaron Rodgers, he's one of the few quarterbacks in the league who can make your perfect defense look so imperfect. So on that throw to Jared Cook to set up the field goal, Cook was supposed to be the focal point of the offense in this game because of how much Dallas has struggled with tight ends. And I kind of wondered if he would because you figure as much as that stuff hits the news and is talked about, teams are going to kind of try to avoid that problem. Dallas knows they're not great with tight ends. They know that Cook can be dangerous, so you figure they're going to probably have a pretty good game plan to try to take him out. He still had some big catches in this game. You know, Rodgers actually missed him on a deep ball down the sideline that could have been a big gain. I don't know if he would have taken it in for a score, but, you know, Cook could have had another grab and made a bigger day for himself, you know, when it was all said and done. He had 6 catches, 104 yards, did have a touchdown. He had 11 targets today. But obviously the biggest one was the pass to set up and the 36-yarder to set up that final field goal try. Going to his knees, the presence of mind to keep his feet in bounds, catch the ball, and the referees did a fantastic job of ruling it a catch there. I think initially one ruled it incomplete and the other one came in and overruled him, and the replay showed that it was a catch. How incredibly phenomenal. You catch the ball, you get your feet in bounds, you roll out, you stop the clock. Everything worked perfectly on that play. And everyone's been talking about Jared Cook and how they need to bring him back and how he's integrated into this offense. If there was anybody on the bubble or there were any questions about Jared Cook and what he can be and what he can do in this game and in this offense, that was answered tonight on one of the biggest of stages and in a huge play. So my ticket king of the game, my Adam Cech ticket king of the game, is Jared Cook with a 1A to Aaron Rodgers because it's hard to ignore the day that Rodgers had. 28 for 43, 356 yards, 2 touchdowns. He did have the 1 pick. He actually had a quarterback rating of 83.9 to Dak Prescott's 82.7. Under the conventional method, Prescott had a 103.2. Rodgers was 96.7, which Flip Schmalis obviously had to harp on after the game, which I thought was absolutely hilarious. So those are my ticket kings of the game.
I appreciate you not saying his real name because I still haven't seen a word that moron has said, so I appreciate that. Phenomenal. I just can't get over Aaron Rodgers. You just said that stat line, and Aaron Rodgers did that without Jordy Nelson. Like, Jordy Nelson didn't even play today. Think about that. The Packers' best receiver didn't play today, and Aaron threw for 350 yards and 2 touchdowns and just phenomenal. Wow. Packers-Falcons, 2 o'clock next week. Jason, I don't need to get into matchups. I think we kind of know. The Packers, if they're going to win, it's going to be a shootout. The Falcons have a very good pass rush. I think the good news for the Packers is that they have a good offensive line. And you kind of saw that today. They protect Aaron Rodgers very well. The Falcons do a good job of keeping guys in the pocket. They did a decent job of that with Russell Wilson, but they can be had. Their secondary is minus Marcus Trufant, or not Marcus Trufant, I'm sorry, Desmond Trufant. Marcus Trufant's been retired for years. Desmond Trufant, which is a really good corner. So their corner, their secondary can be had. So that's good news for the Packers. They don't match up particularly well with tight ends. They're very fast, and they will hit you. They're trying to build that defense in the image of Dan Quinn, Seattle Seahawks. He was the defensive coordinator for the Legion of Boom once upon a time. So that's what they're trying to do, but they're a little behind schedule on that. Their defense is better, but it can be had, and they're a little overly reliant on turnovers, kind of like the Packers' defense is. So, again, you know, this is another one of those games. I think it's going to be a shootout, but, Jason, I'm going to let you go first because – I think everybody kind of knows what I'm going to do with this, but
Are the Packers going to go to the Super Bowl?
They are. Absolutely. I'm not picking against the Packers again. That was a mistake. I took Dallas. I was the only one on Cheesehead TV that picked Dallas to win this game. And I was obviously close to being correct, and it would have been devastating if I was, and I would have been ashamed. And it would have been the worst right pick that I've made to date. So couldn't be happier to be wrong. And I think I had one of the top marks coming into the season in terms of overall record, although Adam Cech is undefeated, and he will be undefeated this entire season. So he's 18-0 and will be 19-0 after next week. So he's the grand prize winner. But I think Corey Jenner-John was like one game behind me, and he picked the Packers. So now I think we're tied. Yeah, the Packers are going to the Super Bowl. I mean, why not? Atlanta's a great team, and they're going to come out fast. You know, here's the thing. Dallas did the Packers a huge favor by kind of sputtering. I mean, they kicked a field goal. I thought the way they were driving on that first drive, they were going to punch it in. And it was going to be 7-0, and the Packers were going to have to go into come-from-behind mode, which is not where they play their best football. I don't think they're front-runners. I won't call them front-runners. I know somebody who loves to use that phrase when describing the Green Bay Packers, and he is somebody who I referred to earlier without using his actual name. And there's a bunch of other people, too, who think Green Bay are front runners. I don't think so, okay? Just go back and look at this season and some of the things that have happened. Look at the Chicago Bears game. Look at some of the games that Green Bay has kind of had to teeter back and forth and come back and win. And so I think all those stupid narratives can just die. But the Falcons are going to come out quick, and they've got a, you know, kind of a sneaky defense that can kind of get after the passer and I don't know what's going on, but Rodgers has taken some kind of really bad sacks the last couple of weeks. Pass protection's not been great. Ty Montgomery, you know, for as great as he's been and has been kind of a shot in the arm for the offense, he doesn't do the best things in pass pro. Christine Michael doesn't know the offense well enough to be an effective pass protector as a running back. Aaron Ripkowski can be good, and as a matter of fact, I thought he stepped up and actually made a nice key block on one of that on the last drive on one of those plays and kind of showed that he can step up and be good. I think that Green Bay is going to have a great game plan coming in. I mean, hard to bet against Mike McCarthy. Mike McCarthy just keeps calling great game after great game, and I tweeted it out and just said, listen, any questions about McCarthy's being a highly successful NFL head coach, and you can throw in game planner and game caller at this point, need to go out the window. Now, once again, Ty Montgomery – on a run, gets stuffed, and that was on a third down, and I think it was a third down, and the Packers lose some yards, and, you know, at the spot that they were at, the loss of yards was kind of threatening being in field goal range, and so those kind of things kind of drive you nuts, because it always seems to be a run up the gut that the Packers get stopped on, and that ends up being the big question mark as to why did they call that, what were they thinking, but My biggest thing is in Atlanta, the defense is going to have to show up big, and they're definitely going to have to get some turnovers. But I watched that game yesterday, Jacob. Matt Ryan is – we think Aaron Rodgers is playing on another planet, and if I had a choice between the two, I'll take Aaron Rodgers every day and twice on Sundays. But Matt Ryan was dealing yesterday. I mean, he was dealing. He was accurate. He was throwing it on point, and – he's having a great season, and I still maintain he's definitely the MVP this year. You got two MVPs going at it. It's going to be a great matchup, but the Packers have to kind of try to avoid Atlanta getting off to a big start or any kind of a big lead. I think Green Bay needs to do what they did this week, get up a couple scores early, try to get that crowd quieted down, and then kind of do what it is that they do, control the clock, move the ball. Ty Montgomery didn't play in that first game. So while, yeah, he's on tape, they haven't seen him live. So is he going to be kind of the X factor that Jared Cook was supposed to be this week? I'm not exactly sure. In terms of the matchups themselves, Julio Jones. Julio Jones is, you know, he's the man. He's the guy that the Packers are going to have to figure out how to cover. And fingers crossed that Morgan Burnett is going to be able to practice and go this next week, because to not have him out there in a big game and lean on HaHa Clinton Dix and Micah Hyde and Kentrell Bryce. And Bryce actually made some nice plays today, but this is the Falcons, and they're a pretty well-oiled machine. I mean, they've got some great receivers. I would almost say Julio Jones and Mohamed Sanu are almost head and shoulders above Dez Bryant and Terrence Williams. So it's going to be a totally different type of ball game. But, Jacob, once again, indoors, on turf, no weather. You know, those are the types of things that kind of favor the Packers offense. So I like their chances. And at this point, like I said, I'm not betting against them. So you asked me if the Packers are going to the Super Bowl. Obviously, if I'm picking them to win, the answer is yes.
A lot of stuff there. You know, something that you mentioned at the end is, you know, Dez Bryant and Terrence Williams. Julio Jones is, and this is no disrespect to Dez Bryant, the player, Julio Jones is the best wide receiver in football. So Dez Bryant is not that. Mohamed Sanu is better than Terrence Williams. This Falcons offense is terrifying. And the thing that separates this Falcons offense from others in the past is it's not Julio or bust. The last time the Falcons played the Packers, Jones was hobbled and didn't do a whole lot, and the Falcons still scored 33 points. So they're very capable of doing things like that. I am a well-known supporter of Matt Ryan. Again, you want to talk about narratives. The narrative around Matt Ryan is you can't get it done in the playoffs. I think that's BS. Because if you look at it, wins and losses are not a quarterback stat. But Matt Ryan's playoff record, and I'll keep this for simplicity purposes, is 2-4. They've beaten the Seahawks twice. But the four teams that Matt Ryan's teams have lost to have all gone on to the Super Bowl. Two of them have won the Super Bowl, and the other two lost it in the final seconds. So it's not like the Falcons are going to the playoffs and losing to teams that they have no business losing to. And if the Falcons lose again on Sunday, they'll be losing to a team that is going to the Super Bowl, and they'll be losing to the best quarterback in football. This is a game that if John Gruden gets a chance to break it down, I kind of want to listen to him just because he'll love it. Two quarterback MVP candidates in a shootout, in a dome, the final game in the Georgia Dome, and two of the best offenses in football over the last 10 games or so. The Falcons have been very good all season long. They're the second seed in the NFC. Their offensive production is historic. They're one of the 10 best offenses of all time, I believe, statistically. They just dispatched the Seattle Seahawks. Vic Beasley is one of the front runners for Defensive Player of the Year. They just lost Adrian Claiborne, which is their other pass rusher. They have Dwight Freeney as another guy who does some situational stuff for him, but he's not what he used to be, even though he does. He still has some juice in the tank, but not what he used to. But I'm not picking against Aaron Rodgers. I know it's another road game. It's against a team that is probably better than the Packers, but the team they're playing doesn't have Aaron Rodgers, and this Packers team does. I think it'll be tight. I think it'll be hotly contested. I think it'll be dramatic. I think you'll be nervous. I think you'll need Pepto or whatever it is that helps relax your nerves. Whatever it is, you're going to need it on hand, but I think the Packers are going to the Super Bowl, and I think they're going to win 37-30. And I think they're going to send the Georgia Dome out with a loss. And I think they'll be taking on the New England Patriots in Super Bowl 51 when it's all said and done. And, you know, that kind of doesn't really matter, I guess, who wins tonight's game if I'm picking the Patriots. But I am. I think it's Packers-Patriots. I think we're finally going to get the matchup everyone wants, Aaron Rodgers against Tom Brady in Super Bowl 51. And we'll see what happens. But for now, I think my advice to everybody is enjoy today. There's time to be nervous for Sunday. But for the next, Sunday, Monday, just kind of enjoy tonight. Tonight was a big win. Aaron Rodgers himself said this was special. And it was more special than, the Packers have had around here in quite some time. Like I said, my feeling after the game was, we always, the Packers always lose games like that. They finally won one. So enjoy it. For those of you that have NFL Network, the game will re-air on NFL Network tomorrow at 7 p.m. Central. So if you're a nerd like me, I will be tuned in because I enjoy every second of that stuff. And one other thing I really want to point out is Jerry Jones built that brand new stadium. And the three biggest wins in that stadium belong to the Green Bay Packers. So, Jerry, I really appreciate you building that shit box for the Green Bay Packers to make a bunch of memories in it. So, thank you, Jerry, and enjoy your time on the golf course this summer because the Packers have sent your Dallas Cowboys home again. Packers are in the NFC Championship game against the Atlanta Falcons. That will do it for today's show. Be sure to check out PackersTalk.com for all your latest Packers news and podcasts. You can follow the show on Twitter. We are at Packer Pulse. You can follow me personally at Jacob Westendorf. You can follow Randy Quaid, Upbeat Lollipop, Jason Perrone. He is at Jason Perrone. Trust me, it's entertaining. Just kind of understand what you're doing when you follow him next week during the game. But you can follow him there. It's at Jason Perrone. Ticket King, want to thank our sponsor. There's no more games this year, obviously, but next year we anticipate them sponsoring us again. Grab your tickets. Go on in. Hopefully, maybe if you get a couple more wins, maybe I could see you guys at the first game of the season when they're raising another banner. That'd be great. Grab your tickets. Go in and cheer on what we're hoping are now the 14-time world champion Green Bay Packers. But a lot of bridges to cross for that yet. Remember, as we get to Sunday, no matter what you hear all week, something I tweeted out before this game, I want to encourage you guys to remember. The Green Bay Packers, no matter what you hear, are nobody's underdog. Nobody's underdog, ever. They'll play Sunday against the Atlanta Falcons. It is a 2:05 kickoff. Winner goes to Super Bowl 51. They will take on either the New England Patriots, Kansas City Chiefs, or Pittsburgh Steelers, depending on the result of tonight's game and obviously next week's game as well. But Packers win. 34-31 and a heart stopper over the Dallas Cowboys. Money Mason Crosby at the buzzer, as called by yours truly. Thank you guys for listening into Pulse of the Pack.
Of the Packs Podcast.
Do you want to experience the thrill of a Packers game at Lambeau Field? If so, be sure to get your game ticket from the longtime trusted source in Wisconsin, Ticket King. Visit their locations in Milwaukee and Green Bay, or just go to their website at ticketking.com. Again, that's the ticketking.com.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.